Hello, I'm Jeanette Hill, and I'm the founder and executive director of J.W. Hill Productions. J.W. Hill Productions is a theatrical company that creates and produces original dramas that depict both the challenges and the resilience of people in the African-American community. And I am so excited to host the first J.W. Hill Productions podcast for The Second Act. And today on The Second Act, we are honored to talk to the visionary and founder of the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. Now, I have been fortunate enough to participate in this wonderful festival for several years, and I'm telling you that this can be a career changer. I'm blessed to be a part of ABTF again this year, so let's get started talking to visionary Tony Simmons Henson. Hello, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you participating in the 2015 Women Making History blog series, and I truly do believe that you are a woman making history.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you so much. I really am honored and flattered that you would consider me. I really am. There's so many wonderful, beautiful, dynamic women out here doing a lot of work, and to be considered among the select few for this tribute is certainly humbling and flattering. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, you're quite welcome. Well, let's get started. One of the first things I want to ask, what made you start the Atlanta Black Theater Festival? I mean, what was your goal?
Well, it's inspiration, to tell you the truth. I've been producing theater now for about 11 years and moved to Atlanta in 2007 and noticed that the Atlanta theater used to be, or the scene, the theater scene in Atlanta used to be what I someone else called a sizzling, and it went from a sizzle to a simmer, and this was in the early 2000s. And then as time moved on, produced a couple of great projects, and then my life took a different direction, and then I went back to producing theater and had a tragedy in my life and was the lowest of low, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, received inspiration in four words, the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. And at that point in time, I thought it was so intuitive, I thought it already existed. So I got up and I started researching and discovered that it didn't exist and knew that it was a calling for me to start a festival and create a platform where Atlanta can be looked at as a hub for phenomenal Black theater.
That's wonderful. You know, and looking at the economy and the dwindling arts funding and the increasing cost of mounting a quality production, what can we do as art enthusiasts to keep Black theater alive, keep it vibrant, and keep it relevant?
I think theater festivals are the way to go because there's pool, there's a situation where, in our model in particular, that we pool our resources. Once you can pool your resources and then take a time out during a four-day period for everybody to come and celebrate the playwrights and celebrate theater and our stories that we're telling on stage and the interaction and the discussion and the dialogue and just be able to come together and meet like a family reunion, I think, is the way that we can support theater. It's a very real way. People can make it a part of a great weekend, maybe a weekend getaway, or they can make it a part of their annual vacation. But I just think it's just necessary because everybody needs to rejuvenate and connect. And we need to know where we come from, and our stories need to be told, and not being told mainstream as often as they can be. And we've had some successes with stories with television. We've had some successes in the black box. But theater really truly is the only place where we can tell our stories unedited without input from outside. And we can tell it the way we want it, how we want it told. So that needs to continue to happen.
Excellent. I totally agree. And so if you could change one thing about the concept of Black theater and the industry itself in general, what would it be?
That is easy. I think people have a misconception about how easy it is. It's very difficult to produce theater. It's very expensive. And I think a lot of people look at people like Tyler Perry and David Talbert and other people, and they look and they say, okay, I can do this. And they step out, and they may have a story in their head, and then they step out and they go from their head to production. Maybe if they're lucky, they'll put it down in writing. And I've seen it done. I've seen people give out scripts for a two-hour play that the scripts are 20 to 25 pages long, and they say, okay, you improv and ad-lib. And it's not that easy. And I think there needs to be a higher level of respect for craft, for those people who think that they have good product, but they really, really don't. And that's the biggest misconception, that it's easy and you don't have to hone your craft, and there needs to be structure, and there needs to be development. It needs to be character development, and plays have to have a structure. But if that were the message that I wanted to send to everyone, being a theater producer and a festival producer, I would send that message. Hone your craft. You may be very talented, but you've got to hone your craft, and you've got to develop skill set. Picasso had to get a painting teacher, instructor. So you may be Picasso in the theater world, but listen to advice. Listen to people who want to give you critical instruction and encourage you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we only have a handful of Black theater festivals that are carrying the banner for our stories and our voices. How do you feel about the development of a consortium of the Black theater festivals, which would include creating and developing maybe something like a Best of the Fest touring program, touring plays that have risen to the top, who have honed the craft and have made that structural and character development phase a reality? What do you think about coming together with other festival creators and visionaries?
That's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think our stories need to be told, and I think they're not told enough. I think of a theater festival as it can be in as many cities as movie theaters are. But there's that many people out there that need to hear and want to see themselves on stage. They want to see characters like the ones they know and love and that they can relate to on stage as much as they want to go to the movies. So I think that there could be a major theater festival in every city, and I would encourage that. I would love that. That would be a dream for me. So consortium, any kind of connectivity with any theater festival, is an idea and a concept that I would welcome. I definitely would welcome that.
Okay, that's great. We're going to hope that somehow or other that can just be braided together so that can happen. I think that would be a wonderful way, because there's so many people with so many valuable stories and so many talented people that I think we can do that. We can get those stories out, and we can get our voices heard.
Absolutely.
So I love that idea. Okay, I also love the idea that the ABTF not only celebrates the past of Black theater, but you also pay it forward with your youth program. Is there a way that you think we can meld the generations to bring hope and longevity to the arts?
Well, you know, I've heard this phrase so many times, the arts saved my life. And I also know what the Bible says. The Bible encouraged Moses to tell us to record the journey of the Israelites to the promised land. So that tells you right there, Jesus was the best storyteller there was. He's the most famous storyteller.
Amen.
So this is a ministry. Telling stories is a ministry, and we have to tell our stories. So it's imperative that we tell our stories. And who do we tell them to if we don't tell them to our youth? They need to know where we're going. They need to know where they come from so they can know where they're going. And like I said, it's biblical. The concept is biblical. So if you don't know your history, and the history of America, we've been stripped of the knowledge of our history. So our knowledge stems way back before slavery. It goes to the diaspora and the crossing over of all the peoples from all the lands around the world where we come from. So those stories need to be told. And if they're not being taught in school, then they need to be taught, and they need to be told in families. And activities like art programs. And if there's anything else I would encourage people to do is bring their children to arts programs, because art is what you study. John Quincy Adams, and I'm going to paraphrase, said once before, he said, I'm going to study war so that my children can study science, so that their children can study art. It's a higher level of thinking. Art is humanity, civilization. It's what connects us. And it's what connects community. And it makes us feel human and who we are. It makes us human. So if anything, I would encourage people to go take their children and expose their children to the arts. I think what we've done is, as a community, we emphasize a lot on sports, which is wonderful because we need to be healthy and we need to be active. But also there's another side to our lives that I think is being grossly neglected, and that is exposure to the arts. And so our gift of theater program that we offer during the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, this year's goal is to raise enough money to give away 1,000 tickets to youth. And we're really excited about that because 1,000 tickets to young people who would not otherwise, because of barriers, be it financial barriers or transportation barriers, they are not exposed to the arts. So we want to give that gift of theater. That's what we call it, a gift of theater program. And it's a well-rounded program where we talk about expression and development of art on stage and how to tell stories, as well as they get to see a live performance. And again, our goal this year is 1,000 tickets. Last year our goal was 400, so we more than doubled our goal for this year. And we're excited about it. People get it. The people who love theater, who love the arts, get it. And we're trying to raise money to be able to do that. And that's being coordinated in the direction of Dr. Shelton Land, who is an arts advocate and also the creator and founder of Landmines Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization. So he's spearheading that effort, and he's being very successful. He's hit the ground running this year, and already ahead of his goal. So we're excited about that 1,000 youth. And if you want more information about how you can contribute, it costs $12.50 to sponsor one child. And if you can sponsor a child or you can sponsor two, that'd be great. Or if you can just give $5, that's wonderful. You can sponsor a half a ticket, you know. If you can go to our website.
$5, you can't get out of McDonald's with $5, so that's very reasonable.
But every little bit helps, and we really appreciate the effort of every little bit that helps. And I had a pledge last year, and I said for anybody who sponsors $10, I'll put the other $2.50 to it so we can get a child going. And this comes out of my personal money. And I would love to do that this year, too. I don't have a problem with that. So whatever you give, we'll make it whole, and we'll get a child in one of those seats. And it's important. It's critical. And the website is www.atlantabtf.org. That's Atlanta, B as in Black, T as in Theater, F as in Festival.org, AtlantaBTF.org. Or you can call us at 470-251-ABTF, 470-251-2283. And it's the contribution, any contribution that you make is also tax-deductible, so you can get the tax benefits of that, too, as well as help a child.
Yeah, I think that's great, and I really applaud that aggressive stand that you and Dr. Lambs are taking and trying to get our young people into and give them exposure to the arts. I think that's more than commendable, and I think all of us can do our parts, as you say, even if it's just a little bit. You know, a cake is made up of numerous ingredients, so if we can all just put in a little bit, we'll get a product out there. So what do you consider the most valuable lesson on your journey so far with the Atlanta Black Theater Festival?
One thing that I learned that I didn't know when we first started was how much work is out there and how little it's being produced. There's not a lot of brick-and-mortar theater companies, and so African-Americans are left to, and we do need, first of all, to have more brick-and-mortar theater companies, but we also need to expand opportunities for ourselves, and more importantly, the public to support what folks are doing. If people are out there doing quality work, it needs to be supported. It really needs to be supported. And I don't mean supported. Go out and have a good time, enjoy yourself, but make that one of your choices. I think we'll go to a concert. We'll spend $150 for a ticket to go see Beyonce, 10,000, 50,000 show, and that's wonderful. She does great music, and she's got a lot of fans. But be a fan of the arts. Be a fan of theater. Spend $15, $20, $30 for a ticket and go see a live performance, because the arts, it's just a critical part of our community. And a lot of times it gets ignored, and the exposure is not as great because we don't have the marketing dollars behind it. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's the lesson we need to learn. Okay, and the festival now is fourth or fifth year. Where do you see it going from here?
Oh, my goodness, that's a good question. We have a plan. I don't think I'm ready to publicly expose it yet, but we do have a plan.
Okay.
We're looking to broaden it. The name of my company, let me give you a hint. The name of my company is Micah 68 Media, so that means more media, and we'll leave it at that. But we have a plan and a vision, and we'll unveil it as we grow. I'm excited.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to hearing about that. So in light of that, and in light of this plan that you can't tell us too much about right now, what do you consider your legacy?
Oh, honestly, my legacy is if I raise four wonderful contributing children, children that contribute to the society, that's my legacy. Anything more than that is just a mantle to do God's will. I don't even think about legacy. I just think about, you know, taking care of my business and doing the work that God has called me to do. And that answers from the bottom of my heart.
Okay. That's that Joshua 1 and 8. Don't look to the left or the right. Just do what I told you to do.
Yes.
Okay, if you had to hire someone to replace you in all that you do, and for those of you who don't know, we could nickname her the Mad Hatter because she wears so many hats. And getting this wonderful festival up and going and making sure that it runs seamlessly for those 4 days where we're walking around looking, we have no idea everything that's transpired and is transpiring during the festival. But if you had to contract out the top three skills or abilities required to make that festival run, what would they be?
That's a great question. And even though it might seem like I'm a solo, sometimes I feel like a solo, one-man band. I'm not. There's several people that make this happen, and I'll take this opportunity to give a shout out to those people that make it happen. So you need somebody, you need a visionary, you need somebody who can see the long-term effects of what the environmental impacts as well as the internal strengths, weaknesses, and threats. And you can also need somebody to create opportunity. So you need a visionary. And the next person you need who fulfills that part is my sister, Wanda Simmons. She's our festival manager, and she's the person who sees the details. She's the one that when the vision is out there and when I articulate the vision, she's the one who can tell me what can go wrong. Because as a visionary, you don't get to look at the details. And she's the one that looks at the details, and she has a special gift of saying, what if this happens, playing devil's advocate, so that we don't have mess-ups. And she is really the key person who makes it appear as though it's seamless, because she has created the scenario that could go wrong and puts in the plan that says, well, if it does go wrong, this is what we're going to do about it, and this is how we're going to handle it. And to me, that's the oil in a machine. You can have the vision, you can have the structure, you can have a beautiful design, but it will fall apart if it's not constructed properly. And that's what Wanda does. And then, of course, once all of this planning takes place, we have a group of advisors, our board of advisors, who we throw ideas off of, and they bounce back with their feedback. And they're the ones in the environment that let us know what the opportunities and threats are. And then on top of that, we have over 100 volunteers that come and execute everything that has been planned over the course of the 12 to 15 months of planning takes place. So there's quite a few things to make it happen, to make the ABTF happen, but vision and someone who's detailed oriented. And then, of course, I think the third thing is integrity. And I think that plays a large role because you're handling people's money and also a desire and a passion to help and to want to see the people succeed. That, I think, is also something that's also critical because at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about those folks. And we talked about this before, Jeanette. It's about not taking for granted the fact that people are packing up their bags. They're piling in their all of their love, their hope, their dreams. And their cast and crew, and it's not cheap to do that. And they're traveling to Atlanta, doing all the fundraising that takes place to get here. And then they're hoping and expecting a great theater experience. And that's what we want to create for them. So we consider them our patrons and our customers, the cast and the crew also. And I think it's important to recognize and we appreciate that people have enough faith in us to do that. We really do, and we don't take it for granted.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell us how readers can get in touch again. I know you gave us your website and your phone number before, so I'd like for you to give that out again so that anybody that wants to get more information about the festival, how they can participate, how they can support, that they'll have that information.
Sure. Everything that we do is on our website. Anything, any new information that comes out, any developments, we constantly update our website. So always check for it, for the shows, programming, scheduling changes, venues, et cetera. And that is www.atlantabtf.org. That's Atlanta spelled out, B as in black, T as in theater, F as in festival.org, and the telephone number is 470-251-2283.
And we're just really glad to have you. And I'm just going to give people a buzz. I already have my airline tickets for the festival.
Oh, good.
If that tells you how serious I am and how much faith I have in this festival, I've already purchased my airline tickets for October the 8th through the 11th. So I will be there. And I'm expecting to see a lot of you there as well. And I want to thank you again for participating in our Women Making History series. We know that you're extremely busy, particularly this time of year. But I really wanted to tell you I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come and be a part of what I'm hoping is going to be the inaugural Women Making History series for the second act in J.W. Hill Productions. So I thank you again.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your vision and Jeanette Hill Productions and the success that I watch of your theater company grow over the years, and I'm extremely proud of what you've been able to accomplish. I really am. You're a quality playwright, and thank you for everything that you're trying to do to sustain black theater. We all work together, and that's a beautiful thing.
All right. Thank you, and you have a blessed day. Okay.
You too. Thank you.